You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.
And now, Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM presents Studio 89.7. This program focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors in the news. And now, here's your host, Philadelphia radio veteran, Paul Perillo.
I had the opportunity, I guess it was about 8 years ago, when this movie came out, Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, and the entire cast of Percy Jackson was here in the studio with me. And lo and behold, I am fortunate enough to have with me in the studio two of the cast members, the two stars, if you will, of The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical. We're going to welcome Chris McCarroll, who stars as Percy Jackson, and Kristen Stokes, who stars as Annabeth.
That's right.
Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I am glad to have you here. Chris, let me talk with you first, since you are Percy Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Puts a lot of pressure on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes.
So what's it like playing this iconic character, not only from the movie, but the series of books that Rick Riordan wrote in the Percy Jackson series?
I've been so lucky in that I didn't know how much I was like Percy Jackson until I was actually cast. I read the book after I was cast and I was getting ready for the show. And while I was reading it, I was realizing just how much my DNA was already shared with this character. So it comes very naturally to me, which makes my job much easier. It's not the most transformative moment of my career where I'm playing something so off my daily life, but it makes it that much more lived in and natural to me.
Percy Jackson, in the books and even in the movie, is much younger, and I'm only going on just looks here. What's it like to act younger, especially when it comes to this iconic role?
Mm-hmm. Well, the series of books kind of follows Percy through his entire coming of age.
Right.
And so with the musical, we kind of decided that we would kind of do the average age of what you see when you follow him in the books. But all the stuff that he deals with, I think really it's an adolescent story, you know. And so that's something right in my wheelhouse. And I talk to fellow actors a lot about this, but it's almost easier to play something that you've been through when you have some time to look back on it.
Yeah.
I feel like I can play, you know, an adolescent, and because I have a window of time that I've processed what it means to be that, and I'm comfortable with it now, which makes the more uncomfortable side of playing young feel much easier to do.
Give us a little bit of the backstory, or fill us in a little bit as to who Percy Jackson is.
Percy Jackson lives with his mother and his mother's boyfriend. And so he's kind of in a single parent situation. He has some learning problems. He has ADHD, dyslexia. He gets in trouble at school a lot. Because crazy things happen to him. When I say crazy, I mean substitute teachers sprout wings and attack him on a field trip to a museum. That's the
just
level of
regular
crazy stuff. Everyday things, right?
I know that life. Yeah. Continue with you.
And as we go on, we figure out why these very abnormal things are happening to him, because his background and his past is very abnormal, and it comes out during the show that he is actually the son of a Greek god, and things go down because Zeus's lightning bolt is missing, and this poor kid who was living a very normal life a few weeks ago is now on a quest to prove that he himself did not steal Zeus's lightning bolt. So
It goes
from 0 to 100 very quickly in Percy's life.
Does he have supernatural powers because of his lineage, who his father is?
Well, I don't want to give away like any huge
look
spoilers.
I can read the books, come on.
But he does have an affiliation with water.
Oh, okay, all right.
Not to point to anything about his dad. So
who is not Aquaman, by the way.
Who is not Aquaman. Right. Weird stuff always happens with water and him. Water always comes to protect him. So yes, that's his superpower that he's noticing in his life is just he has a strange connection to water.
Were you familiar with either the movie or the books before you were cast in the role of Percy Jackson?
No.
Have you been living, under a rock or what?
I know. I was never a huge reader growing up because I was always a theater kid.
Right.
So when you get home from rehearsal, the last thing that you need to do is an escape into a story. Entire day was escaping into stories. So I wasn't a huge reader growing up, of fiction at least. But in New York, when you get these auditions, you know, I got the song and the scenes, and the audition was the next day. So it's not like you can read the whole book. So I did my quick research online. I kind of went in, and then you play catch up after you get cast. And that's when I realized, like, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. This kid is in my bones.
Yeah. Let me talk to your co-star, because she is your character, Kristen, is Annabeth. Your character is friends with Percy, right? Friends, because there's oftentimes people are looking for that romantic link or that love story, and that's not necessarily what this story is all about. You are just really good friends with Percy, but a strong female character in the story. Were you familiar with the story prior to being cast in the show?
I wasn't. I actually, the first time I heard about this, I just randomly had an audition appointment. This was like when the musical was getting its very first workshop. So zero hype, zero anything. Obviously, the books were around. I think the movies had been already made. And I was in the audition room, and I was looking over the sides, and it was this scene with Auntie M. And I was like, oh, maybe this is some weird Wizard of Oz show I don't even know about. And then not until after they were like, oh, P.S., she's a demigoddess, and Auntie M is Medusa, and blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. And then after I got cast, same thing. I was like, okay, what is going on? And I have dove into the world reading the entire series. I haven't read any of the spinoffs because I don't want to get too overwhelmed with different plot lines, but I have not seen the movies. I've kind of – I'm one of those people that – especially if I see a movie before reading the book, then like all I can see is the movie. And so I've kind of just kept it really pure with the books.
What's it like then to step into this world where you pretty much are charting the course for your character, just like in the case of, you know, Percy? I mean, there's this tradition of the books and there's tradition of the movie, but now they've taken the show, it is a musical. And you're pretty much in the rehearsal stage. It gets its premiere, you know, Third City premiere here in Philadelphia. Yeah. So it's they're still, I don't want to say working out the kinks, but you're on this rocket ship ride right now because there's no one that went before you, so to speak, that has gotten the role down pat. What's it like for you to know that, hey, you were really crafting this role of Annabeth to be what you want it to be?
I love it. It is so much fun. This is kind of my favorite thing to do. I love to originate roles. I love to be the first person to kind of get my stamp on it because, you know, like you said, you're alone on this rocket ship. You're making up the rules, so to speak. I mean, luckily I have this fantastic source material of the book, which is really fun for me to be like, okay, what do I align with in this character? And then how do I bring that into the show? And how do I make it make sense where obviously the show, we have to cut some things out because we have to, you know, it's 2 hours. And so it's kind of my favorite thing in the world to originate a role because, you know, like you said, you get your stamp. There's a lyric in the show that says that I'm feeling stoked, which is my last name, Kristen Stoked. I'm like, now I get to be in the show forever, you know?
Connected forever.
Exactly.
That's for sure. We are talking with Kristen Stokes, who plays the role of Annabeth, and of course, Chris McCarroll, who plays Percy Jackson. It is The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical. So what can people expect And I suspect that there are going to be a lot of young kids that are going to come out and see it only because of the books and the movie. So what should they expect when they come to see this production?
I mean, just a really great time. The music is rocking. If you haven't heard it yet, it's all on Spotify, so you can already start listening to it. It is such a fun score, so automatically you're going to have some new tunes in your head. Mm-hmm. But just the show has so much heart, so much creativity. Like you said, it's organic. There's real people in front of you doing these superhero-like, you know, moves and experiences. We always joke that we kind of have to be a demigod or goddess to get through this show, because we're doing a lot of fighting, we're, you know, belting rock belts, and then just the story has so much heart. I think everyone can find themselves in the story, whether you're a child, a young adult, or an adult. Mm-hmm. I think everyone sees themselves, and, you know, we really want people to walk away with thinking that, you know, they're the things that make you different are the things that make you strong. This is a story about everyone, not just Percy, but everyone kind of finding their strengths in their disabilities, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really great time and super uplifting. I think everyone leaves the theater. At least we leave the opening number being like, yeah, all right, let's do it. We're going to conquer the world.
It's a contemporary show. I mean, while it might be, as Chris mentioned, it's about a teenager in school, in mm-hmm. high school. And, you know, oftentimes shows are like what I'll call period pieces. You mm-hmm. know, they take place either in the 60s or they take place in the 1890s or yeah. This is a contemporary show. Yeah. Even just listening to the music, it's got a contemporary vibe to it. And I think that's what's going to resonate with audiences.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What was it like for you? I mean, it's one thing that you get cast in the role, and I'll ask Chris the same question, but you're now cast in the role mm-hmm. of Annabeth. You have to learn the lines. Then you have to learn the song,
yeah.
and then you have to learn the choreography
yeah.
and put it all together, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And the fighting, like mm-hmm. the amount of stage combat in the show, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to take on any sci-fi network show, bring it at me, because I'm like so ready.
Yeah.
The amount of training we go through every day in rehearsal, you know, we're about to start, and so I'm like, okay, let's get that cardio up, because it's a lot. And yeah. then, you know, also staying true to the spirit of the books. It's all a big package.
Let me ask Chris the same question. I mean, it's one thing to be an actor in a project, and sometimes that actor is required to sing and dance, and then you have all the other choreography and acrobatics that comes with it. So what was that like for you? So you're not only taking on this iconic role, but now you got to take on not just the costume, but you got to take on everything that comes with it.
I mean, I live for that stuff. A lot of us have trained. You know, there's a whole reason that it takes a four-year degree to get a bachelor's of fine arts in music theater.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So all this stuff, it's kind of what, it was always the challenge that I was so excited about getting into theater, for a role like this to be in my future that I could train up to be able to handle, you know, give me an iconic character, make me sing to the rafters every night while I'm sword fighting the god of war. Like, that is the perfect challenge for me. So that was the whole driving engine of this for me getting into it, was can I pull this off?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so exciting. And the team is so, the director and the choreography and our fight choreographer, they all work so hard to make a collaborative environment where we're doing unbelievably hard things, but there's still this level of play and comfortability in the room that makes it really easy. And then when you go home and process all the things that you did that day,
yeah.
that's when it hits you like, wow, we are working so hard and getting so much done. But I live for that
yeah.
stuff.
Was the theater all, I mean, you talked about going to school and you knew that you were sort of destined for this type of world. So just give me an idea. When did you know you wanted to be an actor?
My older brother, I have a brother that's 7 years older than me. He's my half-brother, and he always did theater in high school, and he was a celebrity in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought theater was the coolest thing you could possibly do. And then in high school, my freshman year, that's when I decided, like, this isn't a hobby anymore. I know that this is what I was meant to do, because it was the one thing that I had instincts in. Mm. It was like I didn't have to be taught every single pinpoint on that. So it was nice to walk into an area of school and be like, oh, when the teacher talked, I was like, I kind of know what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying in a way that wasn't happening in other places. And my family was super supportive, and I went to college for it and just hit the ground running, because I always had a place in my head of where I wanted to be, mm-hmm. just skill-wise. And I finally had the playground of college and teachers that were there to help me to get to where I wanted to go. And I moved to New York, and I quickly got Les Mis on Broadway mm-hmm. in the last revival.
Not a bad role to land, you know, not a bad show to land.
So it was like a very controlled stumble that landed me on Broadway quickly, which was a really great place to be at the time. But it was always, the engine was, I always loved theater, musical theater, and I always just had these instincts of exactly what and how I wanted to be doing it. And I'm so happy that I got the training to like make it a reality.
Yeah. I think every actor aspires to, this is really what I want to do. And you audition, and you audition, and you audition. Sometimes you get called back for a second audition, mm-hmm. third audition. And then all of a sudden, you may get a rejection after all that auditioning. And then all of a sudden, you get the call and they say, you got the part.
Yeah.
That's when, I don't want to say that's where the learning curve begins, because you've gone from high school productions into, I'm on Broadway now, or I'm touring with a national Broadway tour of.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Oh, terrifying. It's terrifying.
I appreciate your honesty, yeah. But
it's terrifying because... you know, the world is really good at making certain parts of it seem super polished. Mm-hmm. And Broadway is one of those things where you think, like, these people sound like that the first day they walk into rehearsal. So there's kind of, it's like that Wizard of Oz kind of screen. And you just got to be brave enough to throw yourself into it and somehow trick yourself into not being terrified. And then once you see behind that screen, it all becomes very doable. Mm. Like, there's a lot of people who work really hard to make us sound the best, look the best. You know, it's amazing how different people sound on those $1,000 microphones.
Yeah.
So as soon as I started peeking behind the curtain, then it became a much more doable mountain to climb. But before that, I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I hope I can hang in there, and I hope I can, and thank God I had supportive parents that I could just call and be like, I hope I don't make a fool of myself, or that I do know how to learn music fast enough, or I can sing it. But you just gotta like throw yourself in there, and then it becomes easier.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, yeah, plunge into the water and randomly be confident for no reason, and then you start figuring out that everyone's in the same boat. The people you've respected your whole life that you think are such legends behind the scenes are a lot like yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A lot of them have had, most of them have had similar experiences. And I guess that's part of what acting is all about. It's about the nerves. It's about the butterflies. It's about thinking, am I going to be able to do this? Am I really cut out for it? And until you really get a shot at the brass ring, that you got to go for it.
Yeah.
And then maybe then it becomes a little easier. Not that you become complacent in the role or complacent in the job,
mm-mm.
but it's like, hey, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it. We are talking with Kristen Stokes, who plays the role of Annabeth, and of course, Chris McCarroll, who plays Percy Jackson. It is The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical. Did you always know you wanted to be an actress?
Yeah, I grew up with musicals being played in the car. My mom did musical theater when she was in high school, and mm-hmm. she was like, oh, I'm just going to keep doing this in college. And then, you know, when she got married, she kind of was like, all right, I'm going to do the family thing for a while. And then when I was about 9 or 10, she was starting to get the bug again. And there was this college production of Working by mm-hmm. Stud Terkel, Stephen mm-hmm. Schwartz. And she was like, I'm going to audition. And there was a kid part in it. And I'd been, obviously, I'm a very enthusiastic child, listening to musicals. We're singing along all the time. In kindergarten, I was like, I'm going to be in the talent show. And everyone was like, you're in kindergarten. You can't yet. But sure, go for it. And so she was like, Kristen, come along with me. Come to this audition, you know. And so I was like, okay, cool. And that was my first experience, was doing this college production of Working. I got to be a newsboy. And then just after that, it was just like part of everyday, you know, it was, again, kind of like what Chris was saying. It was the most natural thing. I had instincts, and it just felt like what I should be doing every day. And I don't think there was ever that like moment when it was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, because it was just something I've always done, and it made sense to me to just keep on doing it. Why wouldn't this be a job? Why wouldn't this be a lifestyle? And you know, and I thank my parents for that, because I grew up in a very artistic, supportive household where that, you know, it wasn't even a thought that this was like a really weird or, you know, strain from the path type of career. It was very natural.
Soon it will be on the stage.
Yes.
At the Academy of Music in Philadelphia. Tickets are still available, unless you've been living under a rock and have never heard about Percy Jackson or The Lightning Thief. You're going to hear a lot about it over the next few weeks. And it's always good that Philadelphia is sort of at the front end of these productions as opposed to the back end. At one time, long time ago, you know, shows would have their Broadway run. It was the last stop. Philadelphia was the last stop.
Oh, really?
Before it went to Broadway. So, you know, they would work out all the, you know, mm-hmm. the kinks right before it would go to Broadway. So the fact that we're on the front end of this production like this is fantastic. And I'll tell you, everywhere you go, online, social media is a big component of this. All I'm reading is about this show.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about the producers, the people that are behind the scenes, that are really working to get the message out about this show.
Absolutely.
So what a pleasure it is to meet the both of you.
Thank you.
Lots of luck.
Thank you.
I know you're going to be hard at it come Tuesday when the rehearsal process begins. Best of luck to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Tickets are available at the Academy of Music box office, the Kimball Center. You can go to kimballcenter.org to get more information about the show. And I look forward to seeing this. I really do.
Oh, so, thank you.
I look forward to seeing both of you in this production. And again, it opens here in Philadelphia in January. All the details online. And I want to thank both Chris and Kristen for being with us today. Thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Studio 89.7. A monthly program that focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors. Please join us again the second Monday of each month for Studio 89.7, exclusively here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.